Support for Red Blue Hoops comes from Nicholson, McNamara, Smith & Associates, Merrill Lynch Wealth Advisors, dedicated to helping clients define financial goals and develop customized wealth management strategies. Information at 812-473-7336. From the banks of the Ohio River in Evansville, Indiana, this is Red Blue Hoops with fanatical Red host Chad Payton and obsessive Blue host Evan Beck.
Welcome everyone to the third season of the award-winning Red Blue Hoops here on your WNIN 88.3. Give us a call as phone lines are open, 812-426-7400, or tweet us at Red Blue Hoops. I am Evan Beck, your voice for the Kentucky Wildcats, and joining me again tonight as a voice for the Indiana Hoosiers is Chad Payton. Chad, welcome to tonight's show.
Thanks, Evan. Good to see you, Walker. It is Larry Bird night, season three, week three, number 33. It's exciting, right?
The guy that got away from B-Town.
He did. He did. Man, if he would have stayed, who knows?
Bob Knight's biggest failures had to be Larry Bird.
I would agree with that. Larry was pretty darn good.
That boy could play.
He could play.
And you were talking about watching a video of him recently. Have you ever seen the video of Larry Legend? Anybody here in the studio ever
seen
the video?
I have seen that.
For our listeners out there, go to YouTube and type in Larry Legend. Watch it. It's fascinating. The guy was amazing.
Absolutely.
Slow, white, couldn't jump, but man, he was a master with the basketball.
He could play. He could play. He was incredible to watch, that's for sure.
Well, season three, show three, Chad. We're deep into the season. We've passed the halfway point. In fact, Walker reminded me the other night, our intern here, Walker, that we are now a third of the way through the SEC slate.
Same thing.
Same thing for Big Ten.
Yep.
So tell us about how Indiana fared since last week's show.
Hey, I have to smile. We are undefeated since last week's show. So we played Rutgers on Sunday. And that wasn't the prettiest win in the world.
That's an understatement, big fella.
Yeah, yeah.
I watched it in preparation for the show, doing my homework like you told me.
Yeah.
It was really rough.
It was.
I had blood dripping down out of my eyeballs.
I think I commented on Twitter it was kind of a meat grinder out there. But IU needed a win. They did make it happen, 76-57. OG Anunoby had seven steals in that game, 6'8 guy. Out on the perimeter. I think he ended up with four dunks, which was pretty impressive. Played well. Like I said, they got the win. You made the comment. I think you tweeted me, Thomas Bryant. You want to talk about that?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Run through that.
So I'm laying there again, drudging through this awful college basketball game. But your boy Thomas Bryant provided me some great entertainment. He airballed a dunk,
which he did.
I don't know if I've ever seen an airball dunk before. And the kid is 6'11.
He is.
He's wide open. Coming in from the right side on the baseline there, he goes up and throws the ball a foot and a half over the rim, out of bounds, hits a cheerleader in the head. She's got a concussion.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's awful. How do you airball a dunk when you're 6'11"?
Very carefully.
Did Crean teach him that?
I don't know. At Indiana, if you want to see turnovers in the oddest way, just tune in every once in a while. We'll definitely show them
to you. You guys can turn it over.
We can. I have to tell you a quick story about Thomas Bryant. I heard the funniest analogy. Poor Thomas. I've been picking on him, but... I saw something last night that said, Thomas, a little stiff out there. Kind of looks like an ironing board running up and down the court. That was a good analogy. I had to steal that.
He runs stiff-legged.
He does. He does. I don't understand it. He was like that last year, but not as bad as it is this year. So
you think it'd be the inverse of that after more training, more flexibility?
You would.
Wow. Hey, folks, again, phone lines are open, 812-426-7400, or tweet us at
Red Blue Hoops. Let's get some calls and get some tweets in. We were very busy last week, and we'd like to do that again.
So after you got through the Rutgers game, then what happened?
Yeah, so we played at Penn State last night, which I did tune into that one. We have not played well on the road. Everyone knows that. Indiana, I think, really played their best game of the year on the road. Up until about the five-minute mark of the second half. So, long story short, I know we have a call coming in, but got a little interesting at the end. But Mr. Blackman, with 4.6 seconds left, took the inbounds, game tied at 75, and Don Fisher brought us home. Blackman hits a three at the buzzer. Pretty impressive. shot. Great job. We needed it. Bailed us out. And 2-0. So, hey, we'll take it.
So, you guys were up, and I almost turned the channel because I thought you had the game in the bag. And then my brain said, hold on, Evan. This is a Crean-coached IU team. Don't turn the channel because they're going to let Penn State come back in. And sure enough, they did.
Yeah, I'm a Notre Dame football fan and an Indiana basketball fan, and it's always must-see TV. Nothing's ever easy with us. And got a little more gray hair, I think, last night watching that game. But, yeah, we struggled at the end getting the ball in. The foul discrepancy was kind of odd. I think I was telling you off air that Penn State, at one point with 2 minutes to go, had only committed one foul
in the second half.
So down the stretch, they got greedy because you can get loose with only one foul, and then Indiana missed a couple bonuses. The perfect storm happened. We turned the ball over, and next thing you know, the game's tied. But how about that array of emotions there? If you're an Indiana player fan and coach, you play great, you lose one of your best players during the game. You still come out and play well in the second half. Then you give it all back, and then you run a play, and a guy hits a shot at the buzzer. That is about an array of emotions as you can have on the court. Pretty crazy.
Absolutely. Well, we have a phone call here.
All right.
She is a consistent caller. We have Kim Payton on the line, Red Blue Hoops. Welcome to the show.
How you doing?
Hey, good evening, Mother.
How you doing? Yeah, I know about those gray hairs. You've gave me quite a few over the years.
Oh, I wasn't that bad.
No, I'm just kidding. But what are we going to do without OG?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Okay, we didn't mention that yet. So what happened to OG?
OG looks like he tore an ACL. I am not a doctor. I don't play one on TV or on the radio either. But it didn't look good. With the glass half in, or glass half full positive attitude that I have, I think we're going to have some addition by subtraction. It's James Blackman's team now, Hoosier Nation. I know it doesn't sound – probably isn't what you think, but it's his team. He needs to go for 20 a night. Thomas Bryant needs to play better. Robert Johnson needs to do his thing. And Juwan Morgan needs to fill in for OG, and we can salvage it. Addition by subtraction, that's what's going to happen. I'm calling
it. That's right. You got to step up to the plate.
That's right.
Someone else is not there.
That's right.
Okay, you guys have a great weekend. Love you guys.
Hey, thank you. Right. Thanks for the question.
Okay. Thank you, Kim.
Okay. See ya.
Before we took the call, you were talking about range of emotions, and the shot by James Blackman Jr. obviously was huge for Indiana. Getting a road win in conference is always important. Very valuable wins there, especially after the injury to OG, because it can be
tough.
Kind of a bummer for the kids mentally. But
is this a Jim Gotze deal?
No. Okay. No. But okay. I have observed a wide range of emotions by your fan base because there was a lot of celebration. And the way I see it, each team is unique year to year. I mean, especially Kentucky, because we reload every year. But each team has its own identity, its own set of challenges and success and failures. So the team, for that particular team last night, that shot was huge. But I think as a fan base, you guys have been so inconsistent this year that it provides a range of emotions. So going to Facebook, I came across this post from one of your most loyal fans.
That's right.
And most knowledgeable fans that I know, Zach Martin.
Okay.
Here's his post last night. I will always remember the night over 6 years ago that we celebrated hitting a buzzer beater to defeat the number one ranked and eventual national champion Kentucky Wildcats. That was a special day for Indiana fans. Last night, we watched a preseason top 10 Indiana team relinquish a double-digit lead and have to hit a buzzer beater to defeat unranked Penn State to get to 500 in league play. Forgive me if I don't find last night's win a success for the program.
Mm-hmm.
So there is your range of emotions. Huge shot. But I think this is kind of a perspective that it is what it is.
And I've talked to a lot of folks. Was that Zach you said there?
Zach, yes, sir.
Yeah, a lot of folks have said the same thing. Like, a lot of people turned the game off after we blew that lead from what I hear. But, you know, again, every team is different. It's a great point you make. Indiana last year, when Blackman was playing and not playing well, he got hurt and the season changed. So you just never know. Every year is unique. It's I'll take it. I'll take the win, that's for sure.
Well, hey, again, road wins are like gold.
They're worth about two home wins in my book.
You know, so speaking of road wins, Kentucky got one this week at Mississippi State Tuesday night.
Yep.
But then last Saturday we hosted Bruce Pearl's Auburn Tigers.
Watched some of that game.
I think Kentucky was favored by 14. Auburn, we're favored by
25. No way. Wow.
Okay, age is settling in. But we ended up winning by 20. The game was actually somewhat entertaining. Auburn was all over the place. They spread the court really well.
Yeah.
And they were getting to the rim. Our Cats right now, we're ranked 15th in the nation defensively. I don't think we're that good defensively right now. Our guards and some of our perimeter players are getting too vertical.
Yeah.
I don't want to get overly technical tonight on the radio, but I'm big on watching what's called hip line, meaning as a defender, your hips should be at a lower line than your offensive player.
Are you talking about
and
that
we are
year.
Not doing that right now, so we're giving a lot of straight line drives to the rim. Auburn was killing us in that regard. But a highly entertaining game. One thing that stuck out for me, we don't get into too many stats on the show, but we had balanced scoring, we had five players in double figures, but Wenyen Gabriel, this freshman that is raw.
Yeah.
But uber talented. He had 16 rebounds in 29 minutes.
He's starting to play better, too, isn't
Much
he?
Better.
I've been noticing the stats on
He's
him.
Hit five threes his last two games. He had hit four for the season.
That's pretty good.
So, Wenyen is blowing up. But that was a very entertaining game. But let's talk about the road game, since that's kind of the subject matter right now. We go on the road to Mississippi State. Mississippi State started the year terribly, but they have bounced back. They came into the game 3-1 in league play.
Is that Ben Howland?
It is Ben Howland. So there's a guy that went to four straight Final Fours.
That's right.
I think his recruiting at UCLA began to suffer because he ran a low-scoring offense. And on the West Coast, that's not going to get you your top recruits at all.
Right.
So he lost his job at UCLA. But, again, four straight Final Fours.
That's impressive. That's Buffalo Bills type stuff there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So go on the road and it was an absolute foul fest.
Yeah.
52 fouls called in this game, 11 of which were off-the-ball fouls, meaning they were calling these moving screens, some of which they replayed on ESPN, and they were not.
I saw it.
They were 100%. They called basic blocking out a foul.
Yeah, that was on BAM. I saw that one. Yeah.
But we got a road win, 88-81. I loved it. We had a little bit of – Well, I'm sorry, a lot of foul trouble. Our bigs were in a lot of foul trouble. We had to play some unexpected people off the bench. Anytime you went on the road in the conference, it's like gold, so I'll take it.
Absolutely.
But speaking of fouling, Kentucky was one of the lowest fouling teams in the nation up until three games ago. And then the last three games, combining both teams in each game, we've had 144 fouls called.
So you guys do foul people then.
We do
Maybe
foul
somebody
people.
Did call in
Maybe
and say,
so.
Hey, come on.
But, Mike, you talk about hard to watch. It's hard to watch. No flow.
No flow. You and I were talking about this off the air. But the refereeing in the NCAA right now is just atrocious.
It is.
And, I don't know. Can you maybe talk about your theory on that? You were saying there's no really guidance.
There's no true. There's no true parent company of the NCAA refs. There's a little bit of, authority in each individual conference, but they know that they're going to eventually be out of conference into tournament play. So, and they ref too many games
overworked.
Per week.
They're That's
overworked.
Right. That's what you said.
Way overworked. And if you look at it, I mean, it's an aging group that we're seeing in these games. And they're working five games a week. So does that lead to mistakes, potentially? Is the game too fast for them? I don't know. It could be.
I was the best third and fourth grade referee you will ever see. Me and my buddy Phil Raleigh. And Phil would tell you
this.
Yeah.
Phil Raleigh. Absolutely.
He's a good friend of mine. Yeah, we were incredible out there. And I don't know why it's struggles for these guys. I don't get it.
Well, back to Mississippi State, something that's become common, I don't get it. I want to hear your opinion on this. At Vanderbilt, we won. In the closing seconds, the Vanderbilt fans were screaming overrated at UK.
I saw that.
And we're winning.
Yeah.
Mississippi State, same thing. The game's closing out. We're guaranteed a win. And they start chanting overrated again. That's kind of – it's just odd for a losing team to chant overrated.
Yeah. I don't know what to make of that either.
We talk about playing fast, Chad. Before we get into playing fast, repeat the phone number for you listeners, 812-426-7400, or tweet
at Red Blue Hoops. Any action over there, Walker?
Any Twitter? Here we go. Uh-oh. This is your boy, Jim Gotsy, Chad.
He's picking on me today, kind of. I don't know.
This may hit a button.
Okay, let's see.
Why was Crean crying after the Penn State game? ? He must be battling some pressure. Maybe he'll hang a banner for the road win last night. That's pretty good, Jim Gotsy. Thanks for the tweet. That goes back to the 2011 watch shot you guys hit, and there was trophy cases made. Popcorn boxes were special photographs. The phone book in Bloomington had the watch shot in the cover. It was amazing. They had rings for finishing, second in the Big Ten one year or something crazy. But
and Kentucky said, we're never going back there again.
No, not with Cal's coaching. He'll never be back. Never. Back and beat that. But playing fast, this is interesting. Heard this on the radio yesterday. The 2009 national title team, North Carolina, was considered to have been one of the fastest teams in college basketball history, meaning how many points they score in transition per game. And they were. They flew.
Ty Lawson.
They were, yeah, up and down the court. Just crazy.
Yeah.
Crazy fast.
Yeah.
Well, Kentucky right now is scoring 9 more points per game in transition than that Carolina team. That is crazy.
Well, and you said it, those wing guys, Monk, Fox, Briscoe, those are three guys that are just as good as anyone. Elite finishers on anybody.
They
got three of them on one squad.
Their outlet passing. If you guys want to watch something kind of a little bit unusual, watch Kentucky's outlet passing this year. It's a sight to behold, no question about it. Kentucky has shot over 50% from the field for 6 straight games. That's the first time they've done that since 1984.
Shooting the ball well.
I can't figure this Kentucky team out because when I watch their games, I guess maybe I'm too anal, but I'm finding more faults than I maybe should because I just don't think we're that good of a team yet. But, man, our numbers are off the charts. I mean, averaging 93 a game, our scoring margin, 21 a game. It's insane stats, but we just don't look that good consistently.
I think maybe UK historically under Cal is just better defensively than what you're seeing from this team.
I agree with that. 100%.
And that's probably the positive discontent you got with them or you have with them is you just expect them to play a little better on the defensive end. But what are you guys right now, 16-2?
We are 16-2. That is correct.
I mean, that's pretty strong.
It is. Undefeated in conference. But we are heading into a little bit of a more challenging stretch that we'll get into a little bit later in the show. And we have a unique out of conference game coming up later this month. You know, we have the Big 12 SEC Challenge, which once again, this is a perfect segue into the next segment, but ESPN came with this idea about putting the Big 12 SEC Challenge in late January.
Yeah.
Strategically placed. So it forces us to have a non-conference game right in the middle of conference play, and we're hosting Kansas, so that's pretty cool. But we'll get into that in the next segment.
Well, I like that because that will be two common opponents that we can discuss.
Right. Carolina and Kansas,
that's
right?
That's right. Now, obviously, different venues. You guys are hosting Kansas. We played them neutral, and then we hosted Carolina, and you played Carolina neutral.
You're exactly right.
So it's kind of a very similar, really, I guess.
You are exactly right. No doubt about it.
Some good gauges there.
Well, folks, we're moving right along in our third show of season 3. Give us a call as the phone lines are open, 812-426-7400 or tweet
at Red Blue Hoops.
We're going to head out to our first break. We'll come back and talk more Kentucky and Indiana basketball.
Support for Red Blue Hoops comes from Nicholson, McNamara, Smith & Associates, Merrill Lynch Wealth Advisors. Dedicated to helping clients define financial goals and develop customized wealth management strategies. Information at 812-473-7336.
All right, welcome back to Red Blue Hoops. I love that blues guitar during our breaks here in the river town of Evansville.
I play that quite well, don't I? Fans probably don't know that.
They don't know it's Chad right here in the studio live.
That's right.
We've got Sam on drums, and we've got Burger on harmonica back there.
Impressive group here.
We're multi-skilled.
We are.
Last segment, we start talking about this Big 12 SEC Challenge slated to start late January, and Kentucky will be hosting Kansas on January the 28th, that Saturday.
Yep.
So it leads us to tonight's special topic. What happened earlier this week, I heard a different radio show that mentioned in 1917, so 100 years ago, Kentucky. I was not a Kentucky fan yet, I guess, but soon
not
to be.
Quite. Yeah.
But Kentucky started its season on January the 17th. They beat Center College in Danville, Kentucky, 31-21. So it started my brain to thinking about, there's been a lot of talk here over the last couple of years about college basketball competing with college football and the NFL, and how no one except for us basketball junkies really pay attention to the sport.
Early.
Yeah.
In November. Yep.
So what are your thoughts about starting the basketball season in January? And I've got my ideas of why there's a lot of advantages, but I know it seems crazy, but anyway, how about starting basketball in January after college football finishes?
I guess you won't be able to say March Madness anymore, right?
We could switch it to like May Madness.
May Madness. That's my birthday month, too, so I would
be
all
perfect.
Kinds of pumped with that.
It'd be absolutely perfect. Couple of things. Again, you would not be competing with college football, so the TV ratings and TV revenue would go up substantially. But one thing that it could offer an opportunity, since one and done has become so prevalent.
Oh.
And last year we saw the Ben Simmons scenario play out at LSU.
Sure.
And in fact, ESPN did a 30 for 30 on that, where Ben Simmons did not go to a single hour of class the second semester. And that rubs a lot of people the wrong way. So if you were to start the season in January, that would guarantee these one and done kids, they're in school for two full semesters.
Absolutely. That was always the joke with Greg Oden and Mike Conley the year they went to the Final Four, that after they got done, they went ahead and just started prepping for the draft. So that's pretty unfair, kind of ridiculous.
And each program's different. Coach Cal is adamant that his players finish the spring semester. He did have one player not do that. That was Daniel Orton.
I remember him. Player.
That was Cal Perry's first team at UK. Daniel Orton was originally a Billy Gillespie recruit out of Oklahoma. Cal re-recruited him to stay. Daniel had a trainer set up in California. He leaves campus, promises Cal that he's going to finish classes, and he did not. And that caused a lot of issues between the relationship for several years. I think what I've been told, they've rekindled that relationship a little bit. But and another thing it offers, during that fall semester, it allows the players more time with the coaching staff. It allows more practice, more development time, clear focus on academics for an entire semester.
Getting acclimated to college
life. Absolutely.
That's
so
brilliant.
If you start in January, just think about how it would play out in the calendar. So finishing in early May, so then all of a sudden, after March, you get into April, you have the Masters on TV, which is a big sporting event on TV.
It is.
Masters golf tournament.
It is. That's a big one.
Then all of a sudden you have this gap. Unless you're a baseball fan, which those TV ratings have plummeted the last few years.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden college basketball would dominate the news, dominate TV.
It would.
So I would be all for it.
Yeah.
I think the advantages are huge. I really do. So if our listeners out there, if you have any opinions on that, give us a call at 812-426-7400 or tweet
at Red Blue Hoops. Do have a quick breaking news segment. Just
oh, we have the breaking news.
Oh, do we have the thing?
Sam's gonna dial.
Ooh. That's nice. Yeah, breaking news, or actually it's a tweet I just got. Hoosier Nation on OG Anunoby. And I guess it's not breaking news, but they're still saying there's not an update for him. And he's out indefinitely, which Indiana is very quiet on injuries. That's the way they've always been. Colin Hartman hasn't played all year, and they still have said with him, he's out indefinitely. So most people think that OG tore his ACL. I hope not for the kid, but as of right now, OG is out indefinitely, and there's no real update on that. So kind of breaking news, kind of not.
No, I appreciate the update because I was wondering about that coming into tonight's show, and I hate seeing an injury like that for any kid. The injuries are just awful, especially that non-contact type like that was last night.
Yeah.
Same thing happened to Alex Porthras 3 years ago for Kentucky. In practice, non-contact, same type of deal.
Most of the time anymore, that's what it is. It's not even a live type scenario.
It's crazy.
It is. It's a bummer.
Hope he, if he is out for the rest of the season, I hope he has a full recovery and comes back next year.
Me too.
Speaking of Twitter, we have a couple of hits here. Jake Matuzak, Castle High School.
Uh-oh.
Question for you, Mr. Payton.
All right.
Was Indiana overrated coming into the season?
They started the season ranked 14th, I believe. 11th, yeah, 11th. Thank you, Walker, on that. Yeah, probably answer that question maybe a little bit. And then obviously early with those nice wins, they for sure got overranked going up to at one point number three, I believe, number one in the power index.
Jeff Goodman.
Goodman, the jinx man.
That's right. Jinx you guys.
What's interesting is the talent is there to be ranked high and to play well. The thing that was probably not, and this is me too, I thought the point guard situation could work. I thought Newkirk could do it, could be adequate. But the leadership has not been there, and he has not played well. So until that changes, and Devontae Green, Hoosier Nation, is a nice player, getting more minutes. But, you know, and now I think it's Blackman's team, so we'll see what happens. The game last night is going to be judged two ways. If they go on and play well the rest of the year, it was a nice win.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't, it was just a flash in a pan buzzer beater that they just got one and pulled it out. So
yeah,
we'll see what happens.
Another tweet, Sam Wrench, most underrated player on each of your teams. Most underrated player on each team.
You want to take that first, or you want me to?
Go ahead. I have to give it some thought.
Yeah, I think for Indiana, it's Robert Johnson. He just does a lot of things well, double figures, shoots the ball well, glue guy, can play defense as well. So I would have to say easily Robert Johnson for Indiana.
I think the most underrated player for Kentucky is Brad Calipari. I'm totally kidding.
He kept Cal there, right?
It helped cement Cal in Lexington.
Yeah.
It could have been the most important recruit in Cal's history.
You said that last year,
yeah.
I think, on a segment.
I mean, think about that. But, man, it's hard. Probably at the college level right now. I mean, Briscoe's getting a lot of pub, but, man, he is so important to our team right now.
He is.
He is the coach on the floor. Cal has given him those reins for sure. If you watch a Kentucky game, Cal interacts with Briscoe differently than other players.
Yeah.
It's more just a kind of a man-to-man talk where other kids, Cal's laying into him pretty well, getting these freshmen coached up. But, man, Briscoe is a stud, physical stud.
I don't like to use the word elite a lot, but in my mind, as far as a college player goes, Isaiah Briscoe is an elite finisher.
He is.
I mean,
he is crafty.
He is. He gets the ball up there. I don't know how he does it.
He is so crafty.
He is.
Now it's the time for this week's show to celebrate and commemorate the 30th anniversary of the last time Indiana hung a banner. 1987.
The statue-stealing year of 1987.
Have we had any more input or insight to the infamous stolen statue? Sam, let's put you on that study for next week. Do some research.
Yeah, we need your help. We need to find out. That's the only thing keeping the Hoosiers from a national title, not players or anything, not rebounds.
Because we hear that you're a crack, you know, investigative reporter here at WNIN. Can you work on that for us?
I'll spend a little bit of time.
All right.
Just a little bit. I can't promise. I mean, I feel like if there has been stuff that has been revealed, you probably have found it.
So next week
you have all the inside contacts.
I don't have those as much.
So next week we can look for an update from Sam on the statue. Perfect. So again, the 30-year anniversary segment here on Red Blue Hoops. We are counting down the top 20 movies. This week we're starting with the 16th movie, Chad's favorite, RoboCop.
Ooh, that was a good one.
Now, was that starring the big bodybuilder, Schwarzenegger?
No, not RoboCop.
Well, the next one's an excellent movie, a true story, La Bamba, starring Lou Diamond Phillips.
Was that Richie Valens?
Yeah, isn't that right?
Like that?
La Bamba?
That was a good one.
Really good. So let's flip over to the top 20 songs of the year in 1987. Coming in at 16 strong is the song by Jody Watley, Looking for a New Love.
I remember the name Jody Watley, but I... Might have dated her in high school. So she was
a pretty talented lady. And then at 15, one of the all-time biggest bands in music history, U2, the song With or Without You.
Oh, tremendous.
Excellent song. Tremendous. So, but that helps all of us put things in perspective just how long it's been since IU has won a national title.
That's a nice dig there, Evan. I'm hurting here.
I think we had a tweet last week. Someone asked about some other things, like, did we talk about the Giants beat the Broncos in the Super Bowl and stuff like that in the radio last week, didn't we?
No, we didn't.
We didn't?
No.
Well, who was the World Series champion in 87?
The Twins.
Bingo.
Minnesota Twins.
But who did they beat?
Cardinals, didn't they?
You're exactly
right. St.
Louis
Cardinals, yeah.
The Minnesota Twins beat the Cardinals. So we have a tweet.
I heard the phone ringing. Do we have anybody? No? Okay.
No. Well, talk about your upcoming games, Mr. Payton.
Yeah, so I'm going to give a shout-out to three of my buddies here, Ben Shoulders, Phil Raleigh, and Wayne Shoemaker. They will be at the Michigan State game on Saturday.
That's a motley crew.
That's a motley crew there. I would say another must win for the Hoosiers, and if they get it, you know, that would be huge, and I think they will. I haven't seen a line on that yet, but Michigan State, a little down. It's Indiana at home. It should be fine. And then Indiana goes on the road twice next week at Michigan and at Northwestern. And this Red Blue Hoops co-host here says that IU has got to win both of those games. So that would put IU at 16-6. They would be coming home that following week against Penn State at home. So there's a chance here for the Hoosiers to make a nice run.
So what nights are the Michigan and Northwestern games next week? Do you know off the top of your head?
Yeah, Michigan is...
Would that be a Tuesday night?
I believe that's a Tuesday, and Northwestern is next Sunday.
I got you. Okay.
We got some space in those games.
I got you.
Michigan is a good matchup for Indiana, always has been. I think they'll win that game. Northwestern is 15-4 right now and playing pretty well. And that's in Evanston, which is a tough place to play. So that's going to be a tough game. That'll be Northwestern will be favored in that game, I would say.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's time for this week's update on the Red Blue Hoops Index. Again, this is the compilation of all the indexes that we follow in college basketball that are KenPom, BPI, which is now back online. They're back live again. RPI and Sagarin. Indiana is rising up the charts on the RBH index. They started 3 weeks ago at 62.5. They're now up to 35.5. So a significant increase.
National champions, baby.
So for all the battering you're taking from your fans, you can say, hey, the RBH index is on the rise for Indiana basketball. Kentucky's still sitting strong at 3. Couple things to point out. Still anchoring Indiana a little bit is their terrible scheduling. Their strength of schedule is 117th. Their non-conference strength of schedule is 306. Again, that's the drags on Indiana right now, in addition to a couple of bad losses. Kentucky strength of schedule 32, non-conference strength of schedule 73. One thing I want to point out, Indiana's a good offensive team, currently ranked 12th.
Yeah, saw that last night, yep.
Kentucky's offense ranks second behind UCLA. Indiana's defense, 92. Kentucky's defense, again, 15. I don't think we're the 15th best defensive team right now, but I guess the facts don't lie. So,
yeah.
Bracketology, Kentucky a 1 seed in the South currently, and IU an 8 seed in the West. And you say they do well in the West.
They do well in the West. That's right. We've made some nice runs out there, so I'll take it.
My goodness, time flies again, folks.
Another break?
It's time for our last break of the night. We'll be back. Give us a call at 812-426-7400 or tweet.
At Red Blue Hoops.
Go Big Blue.
Go Hoosiers.
Support for Red Blue Hoops comes from Nicholson, McNamara, Smith & Associates, Merrill Lynch Wealth Advisors, dedicated to helping clients define financial goals and develop customized wealth management strategies. Information at 812-473-7336.
All right, fans, welcome back to Red Blue Hoops, our final segment for Show 3, Season 3. Chad on the
Larry
blues.
Bird Knight.
Larry Bird Knight. Chad Payton on the slide guitar there.
That's right.
Our phone lines have gotten some action. We have Wayne. Wayne, welcome to Red Blue Hoops.
My man.
Hey, Chad. How you doing? Are you feeling a little better?
I am, man. I am feeling better. Thanks for asking. What's going on?
Well, hey, I just got a question really kind of for both you guys. Is officiating disparity, I mean, it seems like, you know, of course, Indiana, you know, last night, I mean, had one foul called against Penn State.
Yes.
Basically to 2 minutes left in the game.
Yep.
Of course, you know, IU had probably about 8-12. And then, you know, I think in the Kentucky game, I mean, if I remember, there was like, 30 or 40 fouls called in that game?
52.
Yeah.
52. I mean, so the disparity between fouls and like in games, it's just like it's off the charts. And like one time it's nothing, and the next time it's 40 or 50, like you're saying 52. I mean, what's up with that officiating?
Well, we were talking about that a little bit earlier. What do you think on that, Wayne? I know you're pretty knowledgeable on that. What was your thoughts on it? Or any insight?
Well, last night, I mean, of course, you know, with Indiana, I mean, I was a little upset the fact that it seemed like, you know, one end of the court, it was called one way, and then the other end of the court, it was called, you know, like Indiana. I mean, we had Blackman Jr. going for a drive, or Rob Johnson, I mean, and just get hammered. And fortunately, you know, they hit the shot.
Yeah.
There was no call. And then the other way, I mean, you barely touch a player, it's a foul. And of course, in Kentucky game, I mean, my gosh, I mean, the game stoppage was just so off the charts, it was ridiculous.
I don't understand it. I don't know what I think one of the rules of our emphasis this year is like the moving screens, and I think they get out of control on that. They call things before they even happen. I don't know. Who's it, TV Teddy out there causing problems all the time. I get tired of watching those guys. It's terrible.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of think the same thing. I'm just kind of – it just seems like it's just one way or the other, and just like there's no consistency, and it basically makes it hard for players just to get into a groove of, you know, how to play. You know, it's like, you know, one time you put, you know, you can have a hand on the guy, and the next time you can basically not even touch him.
Yeah, inconsistency.
You're spot on. The Mississippi State game the other night, they called fouls on screens that were 100% perfectly legal, fundamentally sound screens, fundamentally sound blocking out. It was absolutely the most bizarre thing I've ever seen.
I don't know how you play like that. It's tough to watch.
No, and
you know, that's the thing. That's the thing with 52 fouls in the game. I mean, it basically just puts the players, you know, where they just don't know how to play. And then, you know, like I said, you know, one end of the court last night for IU it was one way, and then the other end it was totally the opposite. You know, within the same game.
Well, an 8-1 at the 2 minute mark. I mean, really, how does that happen? That's that. Who is it? Patrick Chambers for Penn State getting in the ref's ear. And then, you know, back to Crean. We need Crean to attack the officials. If he would attack the officials like he attacked Devontae Green after he threw that alley-oop pass in that Rutgers game.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah. I mean, maybe we could get some action, you know?
Well, and then the other thing is that, you know, Chad, what do you thought? I mean, it looks like OG, you know, they're not really saying he's out for the year, but it sounds like that there's a good possibility that he's gone for the year.
Yeah.
But, I still think we got a favorable stretch, you know, if we can get Juwan Morgan back.
Yep.
I like the fact of playing, you know, Deron Davis and Thomas Bryant.
Together.
You know, both together. And one thing I've noticed about Bryant, I think I might have mentioned this to you, is that Bryant seems to play better outside coming in than basically with his back towards the basket.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
You know, so, anyway, hey, good talking to you guys. Sorry I was a little late. Got home a little late from work.
Hey, pull the Hoosiers in Saturday. You'll be there, right?
I'll be there, and then hopefully John Morgan's back on the court because we're going to need him for that one.
Awesome, man.
Keep an eye on that Ben Shoulders guy up there, Wayne.
And Phil, too.
All right, I'll do it.
Thanks, Wayne.
Thanks for the call. Really appreciate it.
See you, man.
Walker's reporting we had a tweet there during the break from Richard Johnson. College basketball into May would leave no time for NBA draft combine or workouts. You would have players opting out of tourney. Obviously that could all be adjusted. Because they have the flexibility the way they run the summer league now.
Yes.
Which it's a huge component of the NBA developmental process that they decide who's on the roster, who goes to the development league. But the way they do it now, with them allowing the players to go to the combine, obviously it would compress the calendar.
Yeah.
It would put more pressure on the NBA executives to make decisions, no question about it.
Yeah.
But, man, it would be great for college basketball.
I would like the play in April and May. That would be kind of cool.
I mean,
there's such a lull after March Madness.
Absolutely dominate the sports scene.
Yeah.
Dominate.
Yeah.
I mean, you talk about TV ratings.
Yeah.
You would probably get ratings like the NFL does at that time because there's nothing else going on.
That's a great point.
So, one unique thing that's happened this year that was touched on last week. In fact, I think Wayne actually called in and asked about it. Kentucky picked up for the second year in a row a midterm player. Last year we picked up Ty Winyard from New Zealand. Picked him up between the first and second semester. He ended up not playing in the spring last year, but he's playing this year. In fact, he put some pretty good minutes on the floor against Mississippi State with our big men in foul trouble. Now, again, he is the son of two world champion woodchoppers.
Is that right?
So, now, again, you got to understand the sport of chopping wood. I mean, that's an extremely physical, intensive sport. So this kid, I mean, he's a physical specimen that is learning the game of basketball at a high level. And you're starting to see some glimpses. He may be a productive guy down the road for UK.
Yeah.
Four-year guy.
Absolutely.
But, man, he was moving people around there tonight. You know, holding his position.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So, if you watch, well, you won't ever take me up on going to Rep Arena, but for those that go to Rep Arena, a really fun thing to do is get in there about an hour and a half before tip-off, go sit down in the front row and watch all the Kentucky players go through these drills. And that's when you'll see the athleticism that Ty actually has. I mean, he's more athletic than people realize and give him credit for. But my point to this, we picked up a kid this year, Hamidou Diallo. Again, Hamidou Diallo.
I'm doing well. Oh, no, you said okay, I got you.
So this kid's a five-star. He's the number one ranked shooting guard in the nation for the 2017 class. But he finished high school last year and was going to prep school this year, so he opted to come to UK midterm.
Yeah.
And he's joined the team. He got his team photographs taken yesterday. I tweeted you out, or I've sent you a copy of that.
He looks pretty.
That wingspan of his.
Pretty impressive, yeah.
So the big question is, will he play this season? I don't think Calipari's completely shut the door on that, but he – laid out a plan that indicates they don't expect him to play. But, okay, this kid is...
He's raw. He's tough.
But
he's long.
Extremely skilled.
Mm-hmm.
6'5", 6'11", wingspan. Let's say a month from now he's been practicing every day. And the way he can contribute immediately, people don't think about it. He didn't have to play to help the team. He's going to be guarding Fox, Monk, and Briscoe with that wingspan. It's going to make us better.
It is, yeah.
But... okay, let's say he starts becoming productive and we get in foul trouble. Does Cal pull the string on him and put him in?
Yeah, and you get so right now if Kentucky has a weakness, it's defensively, right? So you got this kid 6'5 with a 6'11 wingspan that's quick.
Freak athlete.
You're playing a team like Villanova in the NCAA tournament. They got that Jason Hart.
Oh yeah.
Tough player, right?
I mean
great player. He's torching you guys. You know, you bring a guy like Diallo off. Is it Diallo?
Diallo's last name, yep.
I mean, I you never know. That's an interesting dilemma to talk about.
It's pretty wild.
It is.
So something to keep an eye on. And, again, he's becoming more acclimated, and he's starting to practice with the team every day, and he's traveling. He was on the road at Mississippi State the other day. So I'm intrigued.
That is interesting.
But if he can just help us in practice, that's enough for me. So you've already touched on your upcoming games for this next week before we go into show four.
Yeah.
Kentucky, we host South Carolina this Saturday in Rep Arena. That game is tipping off at what time, Walker, Saturday? Do you know?
Which game?
South Carolina, Kentucky. 5 o'clock Central.
Man, he is on it.
He's on it on ESPN. But South Carolina brings in, they have now taken over the number one spot and defensive efficiency. And they beat Florida last night. And Florida ranked team, South Carolina's a ranked team. I turned that game on. You talk about ugly. There was no score with 14:36 to go in the first half.
Florida, 0 for 17 from 3.
Oh.
The first game in like, I think it's like 25 or 30 years that they have not hit a three-pointer. I think I read that stat.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That is absolutely insane. Don't know what the spread is yet. Kind of like you haven't seen the spread for your all's game this Saturday, but it'll be interesting to see how we play against the nation's number one defense. The last time we did that, we lost. That was Louisville. They were ranked number one defensively when we played at Louisville. So, don't know. I will say this. Malik Monk showed at Mississippi State some poor shot selection, some bad decisions.
Yeah.
Then he started pressing the second half. He had consecutive turnovers that led to wide-open, uncontested layups. Cal set him down after the game back in Lexington and said, hey, we don't need showtime. We just need you to play to your, the best of your abilities, play within the system, take open shots.
He is so darn athletic.
He is.
I mean, if he's struggling with a jump shot, go to the basket. I mean,
absolutely.
He's got all that game. So.
And you're too young to remember, but he physically – he makes these moves, makes these plays during the games that are vivid reminders of Rex Chapman.
Oh, yeah.
He'll get in the air, Malik will, and he'll make this move with the ball, and it's like I'm flashing back to 1987 watching Rex Chapman play in the blue and white. It is freaking amazing.
That's when IU won the national title, by the way.
That's correct, 30 years ago.
Yeah,
it's hard to believe.
Yeah.
But so, yeah, South Carolina and Lexington on Saturday. Then we go on the road and play at Tennessee. So that game is an interesting situation for us because will our young team be looking ahead to the Kansas game that following Saturday?
Ooh.
So is Tennessee the quote-unquote trap game for UK?
The old trap game.
Yeah. It sets up for it.
It does. It does.
Saturday, go on the road, Tuesday night, got Kansas coming in next Saturday. So interesting stretch for UK, in my opinion, for a really, really young team that we're still trying to learn how to get our feet underneath us.
I'm excited to see that Kansas-Kentucky game.
That's
going to be up and down the floor. Kansas got two great guards, and Kentucky does too. So, they're gonna, you know, that's an interesting matchup.
It is. I've not had the chance to watch Kansas that much. In fact, I didn't get to watch more than 2 minutes of the Indiana-Kansas game back in November or early
November
December.
November 11th.
November
Veterans
11th.
Day.
You remember it well.
Yeah.
So I don't know much about them, but obviously they're pretty darn good.
They got one L to the Hoosiers. That's
what's
it.
What's their hey, Walker, if you don't mind, pull up KenPom's rankings on Kansas on their offense and defense real quick because I'm curious about that. Again, I hate to get ahead of myself, but we're looking at what we have here. Kansas is ranked fourth offensively and 28th or 26th defensively. So
that's pretty good.
Very competitive team.
Yeah.
Talk about arenas real quick. Sam's been on to us the entire season because we have failed to mention that both of our arenas went through extensive upgrades since last year. Rupp Arena is celebrating 40 years
mm-hmm.
in service,
mm-hmm.
and it was starting to look pretty tired.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now it's all about technology and amenities, and
yes.
Rupp Arena is behind in both of those areas. Well, we are now
climbing the ladder.
Yeah, we are right there, and it's really cool what they've done, and they've totally enhanced the fan experience. They got rid of the infamous Big Bertha, that big ugly white speaker system. It's gone. All this LED screens, scoreboards, LED ribbons, LED lights. They finally painted those ugly IU red air ducts we had in there, which I never understood that.
Oh boy.
Painted those beautiful Kentucky blue. But you guys went through some similar upgrades as
we
well
did.
At Simon Hall.
Simon's SKODT, not sure how to pronounce that, but yeah, upgraded the front of the building, added some suites and things in there. It looks really nice. I've been up there a couple times this year, pretty impressive. So hopefully we can get some more wins in that building, get some people in the building, pay for that nice upgrade. But yeah, it's been good.
Well, the IU fans that I've run into that have been there this season speak highly of the upgrades and say it's
a
lot better. But maybe the center screen may be a little bit too large. You find yourself watching that.
It is pretty big, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like when you go to the Jerry Dome in Dallas. We were down there attending something you're not very familiar with called a Final Four. And you look up.
Hilarious.
And, that screen down there it's insane big.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that's great for all the fans that go to both Rupp and Simon Hall to experience those upgrades. So transition to local B-ball here, Chad, real quick. How about the Aces, buddy?
Yeah, so UE, unfortunately, at one point was 10-5, lost to Wichita State the other night. That was their fifth consecutive loss. So struggling in the Valley a little bit, playing games tight. They just can't finish. Struggling closing right now. So upcoming games, they play at Loyola on Saturday, at Northern Iowa on Wednesday, and then Illinois State next Sunday. And those are three tough games. So it doesn't get any easier for Coach Simmons.
No, that's brutal. Yep. That's a tough stretch. Yep. Shifting gears to the USI Screaming Eagles, they unfortunately lost to Bellarmine this past
– I saw that.
I think it was Monday night, 70-78. Apparently, from what I read, couldn't go to the game, but it was a physical game. Bellarmine got up into the guards and changed USI's
– Bellarmine's a nice team.
They are. They're strong. Tonight, folks, USI is hosting Wisconsin Parkside, 7:30 at the Pack. Again, Wisconsin Parkside tonight, 7:30. And then Saturday they host Lewis University. But USI is still sitting at 16-1, still ranked, doing really well. So
that 50 those, points, right? That one guy on 15 shots.
Oh, how about that?
Yeah, incredible.
That was after the show last week.
It was. I think it was that night.
What's that kid's name? Taylor? That scored 50 for USO? 50 points on 15 shots has to be one of the most efficient 50-point games I've ever heard of.
Absolutely, yeah. His plus-minus for the game was probably pretty good that night.
Typically, a 50-point guy, you're going to have 20-plus shots easily.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's incredible. Yep. So, wow. Tell you what, folks, the show has flown by.
Got about 40, they always do.
They always do, Chad. And got about 40 seconds to go. Want to thank the team here. Want to thank Berger and Sam and intern Walker for doing such a great job.
Awesome.
Appreciate
team.
The support for WNIN and Red Blue Hoops. We will be back here next week covering Indiana and Kentucky's games, and we'll see if Indiana can continue their winning streak, and we'll see if Kentucky can continue their growing streak of getting these young guys up to speed.
Indiana is going to win their next couple of games. By next Thursday, we're going to be 15-6. Mark it down. You heard it here first.
Wow, Chad's feeling feisty.
Nostradamus. I'm still
you
in
are,
your title.
Your RBH index is on the rise.
It is.
Hey, folks, we'll see you next week. Go Big Blue.
Go Hoosiers.
Support for Red Blue Hoops comes from Nicholson, McNamara, Smith & Associates, Merrill Lynch Wealth Advisors. Dedicated to helping clients define financial goals and develop customized wealth management strategies. Information at 812-473-7336. Red Blue Hoops is a production of WNIN Tri-State Public Media. The executive producer is Brad Kimmel. Steve Berger is the producer. The technical director is Samantha Horton. The opinions in this show do not necessarily reflect the views of WNIN staff or board of directors, or, for that matter, Purdue fans, Evansville fans, USI fans, Louisville fans, and certainly not Duke fans.